I'll run it through a rough filter, get all the bits out.
Next to his house along the edge of the woods, Daniel Killam pours filtered maple sap into metal pans over a custom-made wood stove to boil down the sap.
I had a very good friend weld this up for me. It's an old fuel oil container that he took the top off and welded a plate down, put a chimney on top. So I've got this huge wood stove and a good airflow system rolling through it. Right now we've got three catering pans on top and a custom-made slot system to hold them above the flame.
Killam has been adding more trees to his tapping operation each year, so it can be a little hard to compare year to year, but so far the sap has been flowing well this spring.
Had these stretches where it'll get nice and warm, the sap will run like crazy. Like this year's, or today's been crazy because it got cold, really cold for a while, and then it warmed back up, and then it looks like it'll get really cold again, and then it'll warm back up. So it keeps our season long.
Killam doesn't have a commercial operation. This year, he tapped 40 maples on his and his neighbor's properties. While the sap flow each spring is weather dependent, the health of a maple tree and the forest around it can also impact how much sap a producer can get out of a tree each year. Something Killam, as a Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources forester, knows quite well.
There's some really phenomenal research out there that basically indicates that there's an extremely strong correlation between the crown size of a maple tree and the amount and the quality of the sap that it produces. So bigger, bushier crown, more sap.
For larger commercial operations, forests are managed to get the optimal quality and quantity of sap. This can include the type of maple tree. Sugar maples are the most prolific, as Killam puts it. Researchers have found there's an ideal number of trees per acre and space between each tree.
As the diameter of the trees goes up, the number of the trees goes down. So bigger trees, but fewer, means they're more productive. So if you have just a bunch of tiny trees on your land, you're going to have a bunch of them to help them, you know, get started growing. But as they get bigger and they mature, you're going to cut them and reduce them down to, you know, 64, and maybe the next class will be only 54 trees per acre.
For folks like Killam that make maple syrup each spring for themselves and family and friends, the purpose of their forest is likely not just for making maple syrup. Maybe they also want good habitat for deer and game birds, or they're planning to harvest the trees in the future. Implementing changes to increase sap production could be in contradiction to some of these other goals.
You can marry all of your management decisions in different ways.
For those wanting to make changes to their forest, Killam recommends starting small and focusing around a tree you already know produces well.
I'll take a look at that, my best producing tree, and I'll say, like, okay, that oak next to it, maybe it's dead on top, and or it's got like something that I don't like about it. I say, okay, that's a perfect firewood tree for this next year. So I'll cut it down, open up a whole nother side for the maple tree to start growing and improving, and that hopefully I can get better sap out of it in the future.
Though don't expect changes to happen overnight. Killam has seen some of his changes since moving to the property 4 years ago have an impact, but many may not ever pay off in his lifetime.
I'm not going to live to see pretty much any of the results, just kind of my own little slice of pie in time. It extends beyond me. I've made a mark, I've had an impact, and I've had the opportunity to eat some maple syrup along the way.
The maple sugaring season typically runs sometime between February and April. It ends when the maples start to bud. For All Things Outdoors, I'm Katie Thorson in Oneida County.